to Illusion of Difference, I as Creator, with your host, Elondis Lake. Our search for unity starts within. Our quest for safety starts within. Once we understand the role difference plays when building community, we can release what we are holding back. We can learn from life's challenges. We can become who we are meant to be.
Hello, hello.
This is Elondis Lake, and I am your host for today. We're going to talk with Sarah Brandt again. This is her second time coming, and I'm really looking forward to hearing from you again. Hello, Sarah. Welcome to the show.
Hello. I'm glad to be with you again.
Yes, yes. I so much admire what you're open, and actually you have inspired me to do the same, and I hope you'll be all right. I'm sure you will, with me telling my stories, you know, kind of back and forth.
Absolutely.
About, pardon me?
Absolutely, pardon
me?
Yes.
Oh, great. So I guess we'll start with you, if that's all right, and then I'll jump in, and I think people will be interested in hearing the difference between us and the similarities as well. All right? Thanks.
Okay. Well, we were saying that we were going to talk about how we handle our differences and how we handle various situations. I came out really late in my life. I was already in my 50s before I publicly came out. And part of that was I had family members that I felt I did not dare come out to, and I actually waited until they had passed away. And part of that was while trying to live up to the expectations of a normal cisgender straight life, I had gone out and gotten married and was raising a family. I had a lovely daughter. I had a wife who I definitely loved, and I was like, I'm not going to rock the boat. Well, once my parents were gone and once my wife also passed away, there was nobody left to be beholden to but me. And so I started looking at what my needs were and realized I've got to go out and explore this feminine side of me. I've known I've been different since I was 12 or earlier. I really need to live for me and not for everybody else's expectations.
I gotcha. And I can say that as far back as I remember, I was so uncomfortable with the role of being a girl in society. I played with boys, had fun with boys, did what was considered boy things to do, and came out in my 30s as a lesbian first, and I didn't connect with my butch side until I started being aware of it maybe in my late 40s, mid 40s, but it was a while I was out, and I really wasn't connected with my butch, which is kind of strange. That's how far back I had pushed it, and one of the things that I would like to bring out is when you're taught not to accept who you are, and I know that's not part of your story, but that's part of mine, not to accept who you are, just be natural. You push a lot of things behind, back, so far back you don't even know that it's there after a while. So it takes some time to even get to the store of the door of what you need to go through. And I don't mean anything bad. It's just like you got to find the door first and then go through it, not knowing what's on the other side. But that's where I find we're interesting together, because there's the similarities, and then there's also the almost the polar opposite difference. You had to connect with your feminine side while I was living in mine and not really, feeling like it was me. And I had to find my masculine side as an adult, which has changed my life for the better. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I mean, with me, I remember as early as when I was like 4 or 5 or 6 years old, I preferred to play with girls. I didn't want to wrestle and play tackle football with the guys and that sort of stuff. I was perfectly happy to join the girls in their doll parties and stuff and play quietly in their homes. And I was like 8 years old or something like that when their parents started agitating for the idea of, you need to stop inviting him to come over and play with you girls. And all of a sudden the invitations to come over and play stopped. And I was like, what's wrong? What have I done? My mom had to explain, it's nothing you've done. It's just you're a boy, they're girls, and it's getting to a point where they should be doing girl things and you should be doing guy things. And it wasn't so much a berating me for wanting to play with the girls, but just they're expected to do this and you're expected to do that. And that was my first inkling when I was going back and looking at my own past was, hold on a minute. Where was I comfortable? Where was my comfort zone? My comfort zone was with the other girls. It wasn't with the other boys. It was with the other girls.
That's so interesting.
and like when my own sexual awakening was just starting to happen, I was still very young, and I had an encounter with another guy, and he was older, and it kind of scared the hell out of me because he didn't hurt me. I enjoyed everything, but the idea of, oh my God, does this mean I'm gay? Mm-hmm. Was terrifying, just utterly terrifying. And I already knew by that point that my father could hardly even say the word homosexual, that homosexuality or anything other than straight topics was just like a taboo subject with him. Not overtly hostile, just like he couldn't handle it.
Yeah, probably didn't have a place to put it.
Yeah, and so when I realized that at the very least I was bi and wasn't sure how much one direction or the other, wasn't sure wasn't even considering the idea of having a masculine side or a feminine side. It was just like, okay, I like them both. What's going on here? And I just shut it down completely. I just, like, I can't do this. I can't disappoint my family. I've got to play the role that I'm expected to play here. And I may know that I'm feeling attraction to the guys as much as I'm feeling attraction to the girls, or, some balance in there, but I can't show that. And so I just clamped down on it and just totally repressed it. And when I finally was getting ready to marry, it was one of the topics that I openly discussed with the girl that I was dating. I said, before we make any permanent commitments, you need to know that there's this going on here and that I've been kind of sitting on that, I think by inclination I'm bisexual. I know certain things, but, I'm willing to have a straight monogamous relationship with you. Just understand there's going to be times where we're both going to be looking at the same guy and saying, if I wasn't in a relationship, I'd be tapping that. And fortunately she was good with that. And she managed to deal with the fact that I was inclined, but that I was faithful.
Yeah.
And that's where it basically sat until our relationship ended with her heart attack. You know, when she passed away, I had still been completely faithful to her for 30 years.
Wow. That's amazing. To have that kind of honesty and integrity. You don't run into it often nowadays. Well, I, on the other side of that, let's flip the coin. I did, like I said earlier, just I enjoyed doing boy things. And when you were talking about you were perfectly happy to sit and play with little girl stuff, I was like, oh, my God, that was so boring to me. And the one thing I always wanted, and I never got, maybe on Halloween I'll dress up as it. I wanted my own football uniform. You know, we would play, but
yeah,
they got to be on real teams and put all the gear on, and it was just looked like a lot of fun. And
they
it
got
was
the uniforms
fun.
And the pads and the helmets and all that, all the fun toys that go with the game. And you
right,
didn't get
right.
that. Yeah, I can see
no.
that.
No, I had to settle for basketball. I enjoyed it, but I always wanted to play football. I like that rough and ready stuff. So I was on the other side, almost the same time in time, looking and wondering why can't I continue to play with boys when I was told that you're getting older and you need to stop playing catch and put your shirt on. My mother was always getting phone calls from the neighbors saying, do you know what your daughter's doing? That's where it would start, and she'd hold her breath. And she said, no, what? She's out here with her little buds out and no shirt playing with boys. And she would call me and tell me, you can't do that, and I didn't understand. And then as I got older, my change came with advancements. And that's what pretty much stopped me in my tracks as far as hanging out with guys for a while, because it was becoming dangerous for me. Nothing really bad happened, but like, you know, sometimes it's really bad, but it was uncomfortable and kind of scary. And that was my first introduction into, I've always enjoyed my own company. Someone told me, I don't know who it was, told me I was self-contained. And I said, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with enjoying your company? But
I think that is a coping mechanism that a lot of us use when we're not able to be in the role that is comfortable for us,
yeah.
is that we become much more self-reliant.
Yeah. I think that's a good thing, though. I think we're brought up to think that we have to have another person in agreement with the fact that we are awesome in order to be whole. I mean, the music is all mostly geared toward that. I think that's why I listened to jazz when I was young. I was like an 8-year-old kid listening to Miles Davis and Coltrane and all of those. But because I wanted to, and my parents thought I was the weirdest kid in the world, because I would sit and listen to jazz for hours. But I think the whole society, and I don't see it changing, is geared toward telling all of us that we're incomplete if we're not accepted romantically by at least one other person. And that really put the hiccups, and it took me a while to sort everything out, because I really didn't, the only examples that I had of women who were strong and who were in retrospect dykes, butch dykes, were in the neighborhood where we lived in Detroit. There was an area where I guess gay people went, and my mother decided I was being a little bit too boyish, to put it her way. So she took me to this area where women were hung out, and gays and butch women. And that was the first time I ever saw an obvious woman who dressed in men's clothes. And that kind of scared me. I didn't know what to do with it. I was going to Catholic school, you know. They were raised by Catholics, and that I totally, and she wouldn't talk. She wouldn't talk about it. She would just show it. And I had to deal with it on my own. And that kind of got in the mix as well, that I had to figure out in order to be comfortable with who I am now. And when I put my first suit on, I was like, dang, this is comfortable. The shoes are comfortable. I'm not walking on my toes. I don't know. And no offense. I know I'm on the opposite end of this. Just remember that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it fit. It felt right. It felt right. Put a tie on and a suit, and I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. But it took
whereas
me a while
for me,
to get there.
It felt perfect. For me, it felt perfect when I first tried on a skirt, and I put on a pair of high heels and was able to walk in them just fine, and able to learn how to dance in them real quick. And again, it felt right. And it was like, whoa, everything leading up to this, I said, this ought to feel weird, and it doesn't. It feels right.
Yeah, what you're told should feel right doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel right. That's the craziness that's in the whole mix-up of telling people what gender they should be based on their anatomy. Because I want to get into that a little bit. They're behind these push toward which way you're going to express yourself in a myriad of ways, whether you cook, how you cook, how you dress, how you do this, how you dance. Even dancing, I am still a natural lead, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had to dance backwards. And I tell you not, I every time I think of it, I just cringe because I did. I danced backwards to make, in a slow dance, to make it look like the guy I was dancing with was leading. And I was like, why did I feel like I needed to do that? And when I came out and found my butch voice and everything, I found out that that's what people call, I'm what people call a natural lead.
Mm-hmm.
So it really expands on a lot of different ways. Like some people think when I was trying to live as a gendered woman, the assumption was that I knew how to cook, and it's not interesting either to me. And I don't knock anyone who can. In fact, I'm looking for somebody who can cook because I like to eat, right? But
right.
That whole, all those assumptions get dumped on you when you don't really know who you are, or you barely know how to spell your name. It gets dumped on you, and then it takes sometimes a lifetime, and some people don't even get through to sort all that out. And it's all based on anatomy.
Yeah, that's one thing where I had an advantage, I think, in that my mother was firmly of the opinion that regardless of the gender of her child, she was going to make sure that they were self-independent. My grandfather on her side, my mom's dad, was heavily codependent. He was one of these guys that if he didn't have a wife to cook and clean for him, he'd be hopeless.
Yeah.
He'd be eating out at restaurants all the time because he couldn't cook. He'd have to take his clothes to a laundry service to get done because he didn't know how to wash his own clothes. And so my mom said, you know, I don't care if you're a boy, I don't care if you're a girl, you're both going to, you know, me and my sister, you're both going to learn how to cook, how to sew, how to clean house, how to handle a household budget, because you're not necessarily always going to have a partner in life. You're not always going to have a girlfriend or a wife or a mother to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to my sister, it's like, you're going to be expected to do a lot of this as part of having a relationship. So she taught us both all of that. And my dad was pretty good with that. He basically chipped in from his side and made sure that my little sister knew how to work on a car and do camping stuff and fishing and that sort of thing. So he taught a lot of the classic guy skills to my sister too. So they were pretty much ahead of the curve there on that.
Yeah, that's a good balance actually. Yeah.
That was something that actually served me very well later in life. It's, you know, talking about the sports and everything. When I was in high school, the sports I was gravitating to were tennis, track and field events, and pickup basketball games.
Hmm.
And I was 6 foot tall, but in my high school, the average height of the players on the team was like 6'6" to almost 7 foot. We had some really tall players to choose from for the school team. So I wasn't going to get on the high school basketball team. I could get plenty of pickup games if I wanted to go to the gym and play with other students.
Mm-hmm.
But I
wasn't going
to begin to be competitive for high school basketball at my school. There was a social club that I was part of that they did a basketball program, and they even had state championships within their group. And I did that, and I found out I was actually pretty good as a forward.
Mm.
But that was the closest thing to a guy sport that I was really doing. I mean, I was much more interested in the tennis or in track and field. I was throwing the discus.
Mm.
But, you know, it wasn't really it was never the football. It was never the contact sport kind of things. Throughout high school on the dating side of things, I hardly ever dated. When I did date, it never really went to a second date.
Mm.
It was like, I'm a very personable person. I'm polite. I'm kind. I'm a good dancer. All these other things, but it wasn't connecting. I wasn't what they were looking for in a guy, or they weren't what I really needed in a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it was I was looking at it from completely the wrong angle as far as what I needed to be looking for.
Yeah.
I needed to be a girl looking for a girl that liked girls. or I needed to at least be a girl that guys like, and you know, looking for a girl that was looking for a guy that was, you know, macho and, you know, the football player type and that sort of thing. That wasn't me.
No.
And you know, I fortunately, with the lady that I ended up marrying, I mean, quite literally, she was, I seriously think she was the first girl that I went out with more than two dates.
Hmm.
And she was almost butch herself. She was a real tomboy type. She did martial arts. She was pretty independent. And so for me, I was actually getting some of the masculine vibe out of her. And she didn't care if she got an effeminate vibe out of me.
Mm.
We kind of counterbalanced each other in the directions that we were leaning.
Yeah.
And so it worked out as a partnership. You know, we each had things that the other needed. We each had ability to support the others where they needed support.
Yeah.
And yet we weren't heavily codependent. But that also meant that my dating experience throughout my life has been pretty darn little.
Yeah, narrow,
Just this, you know, this handful of dates while I was in high school. And then I found a girl and got married and was monogamous 30 years. And when she passed, it was like dating, right? Back to ground zero, dear girl. I've got no clue.
Well, my mother is, it was interesting growing up. She didn't do a lot of cooking, and when she did, it wasn't all that great. So she wasn't the one. She didn't give me a hard time. She would tell me, you need to go and learn how to do XYZ, scramble a couple of eggs or something like that. My father was the one who cooked. He loved it. It was relaxing. He was a salesman and under a lot of pressure at work and stuff. And I think that was his way of relaxing. He would come in on the weekends and cook up a batch of whatever or cook a big dinner. And his favorite thing, which is my favorite thing, was going out on the grill and grilling. I don't think they have that now with the.
Guys are definitely much more into grilling and outdoor cooking.
Yeah.
That's an acceptable guy cooking thing is grilling.
Yeah, but he had this pit that was made out of brick. I don't think they do that anymore. The ones I see now are just these metal things. And it was so cool. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And he would let me use it and cook it and cook. He told me how to season steak and this and that. And I ate that up. I loved it. But put me in the kitchen, I was like, oh, I'm going to go take a nap. Because you have to measure this, and it was just too tedious. It felt too tedious for me. So those two things weren't as I guess they were, because I'm not a good cook now, but I do pretty well on the grill. Yeah, I'm pretty good on the grill.
Yeah, I'm a pretty good cook all the way around. My dad was a griller. He was one of those guys that family gathering, he fires up the charcoal grill out back and cooks steak or corn on the cob or hamburgers or hot dogs or even sometimes salmon.
Yeah,
cooked on the grill.
Yeah, that's good.
And you know, He was really good at that, but my mom was really good cook too. So I learned to do both, which was great. But yeah, it's the dichotomy there of, you know, this is a guy thing to do for cooking. Everybody's got to eat, for Pete's sake.
That's
everybody
what happens when
know
they gender everything
they so they can eat. You know, and I can totally get the idea of you finding, you know, measured cooking and this sort of stuff tedious and that. Me, I'm kind of OCD, so it's, you know, following recipes and stuff. It's like, okay, fine. It's a formula. It's a recipe.
Here's what I do with a recipe, always have. And I can give you a story from my kid's background. I was stuck with trying to cook. And I said, you know, they're going to come home from school soon, and I'm going to make, I like carrot cake. So I'm going to make, of course, a carrot cake. Pull down, I'm going to use the recipe. I had a recipe book. My mother, of course, gave me one, but I never used it. So I got to the place where you're mixing all this crap up, and then they said, add, I'll say, six separated eggs. Separate the eggs from the yolk, the white from the yolk. And I said,
right,
why would you want to do that? So I tried, and of course I broke the yolk, and it went straight into the bowl. And I said, oh. And then I tried again, and it would always break. And finally, I said, you know what? I'm just going to put all of it in there and just beat it up real good, because that's what you were going to do anyway. So I did. And I beat the hell out of that dough. Put it in the oven. It was smelling good. about in time for them to start getting home from school, and the house was smelling like, you know, carrot cake would make it smell. And I had just taken it out of the oven, put it on the counter, and it was cooling off. And they got it and said, "Oh, it smells so good in here. Oh, what is that?" I said, "It's a carrot cake. I'm going to put some icing on it, and that's what we're going to have for a snack." But I got to wait for it to cool. And as it cooled, you can guess what happened, I'm sure.
It flattened.
Yes. It totally collapsed. And they looked, they watched it. Their little faces got all sad. I said, "Don't worry about it. We're not going to have cake. It's a carrot cookie." And that took care of it. That took care of it. It was fine. It was edible. It was just not, you know, like.
Yeah, it just wasn't a fluffy cake anymore, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it. So
the moment you said you put the whole thing in and just and beat it together, it's going to fall.
Yeah, well, that's exactly
what
I did. It's
going to go flat.
And I really beat those eggs. I really did. Because I said, if I do it enough, maybe I won't have to do this step. Why do I have to do this step? So that's how I go with recipes, and that's why my cooking doesn't, you know, do much for people.
So what else can we touch on here? How about this? When you started doing your masculine side, for me, when I started exploring my feminine, there's the big question of, oh my God, what do you do when you're out in public and it's time to go to the bathroom?
And
of course you've heard all the horror stories of various states passing laws saying, you know, you damn near have to have a chromosome test to prove which bathroom you're supposed to go into. Fortunately, when I came out, I was in Austin, Texas, and the city of Austin actually had a citywide regulation that said you can use the bathroom that you gender identify as. So if you're transgender, you can use, you know, whatever you're presenting as, which made perfectly good sense to me in terms of, you know, I look like a girl. If I walk into the boys' bathroom looking like this, they're going to think I'm there for the wrong reasons. And that sort of thing. So for me, it was a no-brainer. I'm out as a female. I'm supposed to be using the female bathrooms, and I was relatively comfortable with that from the beginning. But every time, since I was switching back and forth for quite a while, for a couple of years, I was basically, you know, female when I was going out, but when I'm doing just things with my daughter or with previous friends that didn't know I was cross-dressing and exploring my feminine side. So I'm going out both ways. And I literally got into the habit of, I head to the bathroom and I look down.
Yeah.
What am I today?
Yeah. What do I have on? Yeah.
Which door? Look down. Oh, right. Right. Okay. It was actually a great relief once I did go full-time female. Just say, fine, that door doesn't exist anymore. I don't care.
Yeah.
But, you know, with you from, you know, going out and presenting in a much more masculine fashion, have you ever had problems with people saying, "What the heck are you doing in the ladies' room?"
But not in any significant way. By the time I was able to feel comfortable dressing the way I wanted to, and what felt normal for me, I had gotten my head so strong that I would just go in the bathroom and use it. Now, when there was a line, and there's always in a public, really busy place, there's always usually at that time there was always a line to get in the women's room, right? Just
oh yeah,
line, always crap. So I started just going in the men's room, just going in there and using it. I would use the door. I wouldn't use the urinal. But then there came out apparatus that lets women stand up to pee. And I said, that's great for camping. But I wonder if it would work. I could just stand at the urinal. And I've never really tried it because I didn't want to have a big spot because I didn't have everything in there right, you know, got leaked because a lot of times that happened in camping, but that doesn't matter. Yeah. But when you're in the restaurant, that's a different thing. So I felt comfortable enough to go into men's bathrooms without being, you know, concerned about what would happen. And I was also comfortable going in dressed in my men's. I don't even buy women's clothes now, and I haven't for a long time. Dressed the way I dress, and I just walked in. I would just walk in and use it. I wouldn't even look. Now, whether other people had problems, I don't know. If they did, they didn't say anything to me about it. And then they were snatching up their kids, which is one thing I think is not a good thing to do, because you don't know what that kid is going to grow up to be struggling with.
Yeah.
You know, what seed are you planting in that child when you snatch them up and say, oh, no, don't go there. That person's dangerous just walking into the bathroom to do the same thing that they're doing. I never saw that, but then I didn't look for it either. So,
I never really had anybody, you know, acting that way about me. But again, you know, you've met me, you've socialized with me. You know, I walk around, and unless you have some reason to, you know, be trying to evaluate me, you know, are those shoulders too wide for a real girl or something like that? Unless you're looking for a critical reason to try and pin me down, I just go walking right on in and go in the stall, do my business, come out, wash my hands, maybe touch up my makeup and go back out. And again, that kind of leans back to the thing of, you know, having that confidence, having that self-assurance. I'm here because I've got every right to be here. It's just where I'm supposed to be. I'm just going to come on in here and do my thing. When I was first doing it, especially if I wasn't in a queer venue or something like that, you know, my first going out was almost entirely to queer clubs because I figured it was safer there. But later I would go out to restaurants and bars that were music venues because I had friends that were musicians and I was following their bands around. You got to go to the bathroom. Bathroom's over there, ladies' room. As I started going out more and more and getting more and more confident, then I realized, you know, I don't have to just keep everything tightly focused on myself and not even, you know, dare glance at somebody. I got confident enough with my voice that I knew that I could, you know, tell the lady that's next to me, oh, that sink's broken. I was here yesterday. But you know, this one works and that one works. And oh, yeah, that towel dispenser doesn't work either. And it's conversation and it's fine. And nothing happens. But I still, to this day, once I got my ID that said that I was legally female, and you had a driver's license and now a passport that says I'm female, I carry both my driver's license and my passport on me. I've got one of the wallet-sized passport cards. So if I ever do get challenges, you know, yes, I'm a girl. Here's my driver's license. Not good enough for you? How about my passport? I'm tall. Yeah. I've got broad shoulders. I get it all the time. Go away.
Yeah. Well, here's something I can share. When I stopped trying to wear women's shoes, and this is in the U.S., right? In Europe, it's a different story because the size is not connected to the style. It's if you wear a 7.5 shoe, that's what you wear in men's, and it's the same. But over here, they do something weird. And a 9 might fit your foot in one style, and an 8 might fit it in another style, and you might not be able to find anything other than bedroom-type shoes that flop and flop, but they're not bedrooms because they're so loose. I was grown and put on a pair of men's shoes for the first time that weren't my father's when I was a kid walking around in his shoes, and that was the first time I ever had a shoe that fit perfectly on my foot. All before, it was either too loose in the back or not long enough or too narrow. It was awful. I tell you, it was awful. And when I share that, I don't share it that often. When I do share it, and sometimes when it's like men, a couple of men, they've said, I have that trouble too. I said, well, you should try women's shoes. You know,
my wife had very small, very wide feet, and so she actually would wear size 5 boys' tennis shoes because she could get size 5 boys' shoes, and they were wide enough and short
enough
to fit her feet.
See, there we go. Yeah, that's a plus.
Yeah,
you know, and that really blew my mind and made me realize just how uncomfortable I've been trying to fit someone else's idea of how I should dress and how I should walk and all of that stuff. And one other thing, I used to have crushes. I had friends, girls in school, in grade school, high school, and I would have crushes. That's what they were. But I wouldn't call them that. I would say, we're friends, you know, and we'd go everywhere together.
Right.
And then they would get an inkling that maybe there's something, you know, or maybe somebody would talk to them because I was looking boyish then. But I didn't know it. I was just coming into myself. That's how I dealt with my feelings. That's what it was. It was my attraction to female energy. I have that attraction. And I did it in a way where I wouldn't make any, I guess it wasn't a conscious thing. It was just what I was doing with what was being told to me and what had been told to me, and not having anybody actually as a way of looking at who, you know, they. It was like walking around in the dark because I didn't even know that anybody like me existed.
When I was in the Navy, after high school, I went into the Navy, and that was an interesting experience. Looking back on that, it also didn't last as long as it would have normally. I signed up for a 6-year hitch and ended up being in there for 3.5 years and then got an honorable discharge. And, you know, during that time, a lot of my male friends were like, I formed these really close friendships with certain guys. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, these guys are my adopted brothers, and I'd bring them home for the holidays and, you know, for long weekends and that sort of stuff. My family just accepted them as like, these are more adopted brothers from his Navy buddies and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And because I was very consciously repressing my own impulses, I never did anything with any of them in terms of, you know, like actually trying to get affectionate or anything like that. It was just, we'd go out drinking together. We'd go out and watch plays or movies or listen to concerts, that sort of thing. except once, where this one guy who turned out to be bisexual himself and leaning toward queer, we were out one time and he had a female friend who needed help getting moved into a dorm for the college that she was going to. And so the two of us both volunteered to, you know, help this lady get all of her stuff moved into the dorm. And she had a very nice room for herself in this place, like much bigger than your typical college dorm room. I guess she was eventually going to have a roommate in there, but at the time she didn't have anybody else. And we've gotten everything all moved in, and we all just kind of flopped on the bed together to relax. And he ended up cuddling up to her from one side. I ended up cuddling up to her from the other side. And she was just kind of, she was okay with it and all this. But then she kind of giggled and said, should I get out of the middle of this and let you two back, let you two cuddle each other?
She was picking up on that vibe.
Like, well, that isn't really what we were aiming for, but No, we're fine. I hope we're not making you uncomfortable. No, it's just, there's something here.
Yeah.
And that guy, it couldn't have been 3 months after that, had a religious change of mind that he didn't even like his name anymore because it had overtones that... He changed his religion. He tried to be incredibly cisgender and all that.
Yeah.
And he and I were pretty much at the end of our time together anyway, simply because we were going our separate ways as far as duty assignments. He had basically gotten out for saying that he was gay, even though he didn't really feel that much that he was.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, the Navy had a don't ask, don't tell policy that amounted to, you know, if you're queer, don't let us know. Yeah. If you do let us know, we will let you out. But as long as your behavior has been good and you've been holding up your end of things, other than that, we'll let you out of here with an honorable discharge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically the way I ended up getting out, too. I was telling him, you know, I've got all these things going on that, you know, I am really uncomfortable with the living conditions and changing my clothes in a room with 30 guys. And, of course, it was actually my feminine side screaming at the idea of, you want me to get undressed in front of all these guys? No. You don't want to be doing that. But I basically requested an evaluation and talked it over with the psychiatrist and all this. And he was basically, okay, now what is it really? And, well, there's this. You know, I got the attraction both ways, and I think that's what's driving me crazy about trying to live in these living conditions. But I really can't let that go out to my parents and that sort of thing. It's like, well, tell you what, we can put something down. And as long as you don't mind signing to that, it's fine. But you'll get your honorable discharge, and we'll make it a very minor thing that has to do with whether you've had overt or covert homosexual relations with anybody. But it'll be enough there from my side that I can sign off on and so, yeah, we're just going to let them out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's like the way that people handle things, you know, for me, we had that, you know, here I am bringing boys home.
Yeah.
Not bringing girls home, bringing boys home. And everything's looked at through the filter of, oh, isn't that a great military camaraderie going on? and how much of it probably would have gone a different way if I could have been out about everything.
Yeah.
God only knows.
What they saw was built on what they, like you said, what they thought. And that's what I call an illusion. We're all the same, doing the same thing, just trying to hang, trying to live, trying to find our way. So on that, I think we're going to have to roll on out of here. And thank you again. I really enjoy talking
always.
With you. Yes, and
always,
when it's cold,
it's
thing. Yeah, yeah. So take care, my friend, and I will see you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's it for today. Until next time.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. This has been Illusion of Difference, I as Creator, with your host, Alondis Lake. Join us again. Continue to learn how to take charge in every situation, every challenge.